I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's up, everybody? The Complex Sneakers Podcast. We are back. Episode 4. You know who I'm with. My guy, Matt Welty.
What's up?
And Brendan Dunn.
Here with some dirty Reeboks on once again.
Staying on brand. And we have a very special guest today. You know, we thought we weren't going to do guests for like, what, months?
Yeah.
And then we thought, who could be the perfect guest to talk about nostalgia in the sneaker culture? We couldn't be more excited to chop it up with someone who is a New York City staple, someone who has shaped the sneaker culture in the city, someone who was at the forefront of the consignment boom before the mainstream caught on. He was Flight Club's first face when it opened in 2005, and to this day, the store's most iconic employee. Please welcome Chris Vidal. Get the sound effects.
Somebody help me out here. Come on, man.
We got a whole budget for this. I'm so hyped to be sitting next to Chris because I've never met Chris. We just met for the first time today, but kind of a legend, a guy who you hear about a lot, but it's rare that you see him out and about, you know. So I'm so happy to hear all these stories. And a lot of times I feel like we don't have people who are able to make a through line between sneakers from 2000 to now, or from the 1990s to now. So I'm glad we have Chris to get all these stories from him.
Some kids are going to get educated today.
I think every time I see you at a sneaker party, you're about like 3 inches away from my face telling me why things are shit in sneaker culture.
Yeah, because he'll still buck 50 you. That's why.
Chill. You get in trouble for that stuff now, man. You know, you have to be very clear, you know. I'll write a 150-word essay against you. Stop it.
Be clear, baby.
Buck 50.
Exactly.
Clear, Brandon, baby. Thanks so much, man. It's just... it's so different for me because watching you guys on Full Size Run and seeing you guys on some of like the Complex Media commercials or ads or whatever it is, I feel like there's a different type of connection from me watching you guys and hearing you guys opposed to have never even met you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met Matt a bunch of times and I know Joe.
Pleasant
since
experience, I'm sure.
You know Joe since he was an intern at Complex.
Yeah, he was the intern at Complex.
I used to go into Flight Club to do deliveries for Bradley Carbone, who was the associate editor at the time.
And pick up shoes to take pictures of because I was like, oh, yo, we just got these in. You guys want to shoot them? And he would come through, pick them up, take photos, and take them back without letting the consignees know that we were loaning out their kicks.
For Complex mag shoots. And this guy, I wouldn't say he was holding court, but this guy was quarterbacking everything that was going on in Flight Club. And I remember he is like the quintessential New York City store manager where I was intimidated to go in there. I'm not going to lie. You know, I always say that's like he reminds me a little bit of like the Dame Dash in his slick talk. Mm. In his slick talk, I remember I was a young intern, 2005, 2006, and I would go down to Flight Club and it was intimidating to go in there. And the most intimidating dude was definitely this guy to my right.
I think that I was the heaviest guy there too. That's what it was, right?
It was just a slick talk.
So I remember. Like, look at this fat dude in the store talking all that. Yay, you know, like... No, it's just a good time, man. We got ourselves involved in something that we had no idea what it was going to turn out to be. Mm-hmm. Who would think that 15 years later, 14 years later, you know, there's like podcasts dedicated to footwear culture. There's magazines. Like, I mean, there was always Slam and there was always Kicks and there was always all those other Japanese magazines that would highlight Jordan in every shoe. And that's where it all really started. Like the Japanese obsession and their passion for footwear and collecting Jordan 1s and Footscapes and just every shoe that nobody cared for here really back then, you know? And then there were those spots like LA Avenue and Skit and Riff that popped up in LA, you know? Like these places.
When did Riff open?
I think 2006. After Flight Club in LA. I bought a pair of Jordan 3s from them for less than we had them for.
Wow.
And Domeney got tight. He's like, yo, I shipped them to the store and everything. And then they blocked me from buying from them anymore.
How'd you get started at Flight Club, though?
Flight Club, that's a really crazy story because Flight Club is rooted through A-Life in a way, you know, because Domeney was the manager at A-Life. Ricky, Chow, they all worked at A-Life. Naoki, who's like the founder of Vintage Kicks, which was like the first resale site ever. Like people used to go and check to see what was around. The first site that sold Bapesters and shipped them to the U.S., you know. Domeney and Naoki were rivals that turned friends that became business partners that don't speak anymore.
Mm. Yeah. Domeney's still at Flight Club. Naoki at Reebok for a couple years now, if I'm not mistaken.
Naoki's at Reebok. Domeney is... I don't really know what the specifics of the GOAT deal with Flight Club was.
He's always been behind the scenes, fair to say.
Yeah, he was like, you know, a dude from Long Island. He used to work at David Z under Ronnie, under Kin, running sneakers, you know, selling. He used to collect North Faces. He used to collect Polo. He was just a dude that lived out in Long Island in a house with his mom and dad, you know. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't from the city, you know. And then a couple people knew him through school. Nobody knew Naoki, you know. Mm-hmm. Domeney brought Naoki around. And then he'd be by A-Life. And I used to go hang out at A-Life. I worked for the Laborers Union, Local 79. And I used to, you know, leave the classes that were on Varick Street and go hang out at A-Life and blow it down in the backyard, have some beers and you know, see what was happening. And people would come through and say, yo, what up, Chris? And I got to know Domeney and... It's history from there, you know. It's
interesting. You mentioned the GOAT deal and how there's all this big money in Flight Club now. Back then, it was such a different energy, right? Like how loose were things in Flight Club when it first started? How was it a janky operation?
Flight Club at 254 Green Street.
Yep. Opened in April 2005.
April 29th, 2005. I unlocked the door at like 3 o'clock. Time out.
A.M.?
No, 3 in the afternoon.
Okay.
Right? So we had been there the night before to like 5 o'clock. And then we came back at like 11:30 and Time Out magazine.
Yeah.
And this dude, Ben, he started something called the Thrill List or whatever.
Thrill List, right? It's like
we
the
like
city guy.
First article or whatever that they were doing on like a sneaker, a cool guy's shop or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had like 80 people like standing outside before we could open. We wasn't ready to open. Like, we wasn't done. We got there like 11 o'clock, and I was like, yo, if y'all don't let me in, I'll never get to open the door. Because they were blocking. They were looking through the perforated
customers
gate
lined up.
Down. Yeah, kids cutting out of school, young kids. There was men there. I met a couple of dudes that were like telling me stories that I couldn't believe about winning their first junior varsity track run in a pair of like Nike, it was very intense. So then they let us in, right? They moved and let us in, and... like in 4 hours, they were just like staring at us through the glass, like, yo, I'm banging on the glass. And what size are those? And I was like, holy shit, what's going on? You know, like,
do you remember that first day, what like the standout sneakers were that people wanted?
I think it was the Jordan 4.
Okay.
The Jordan 3s and Jordan 4s. We saw, and the Olympic 6s.
Okay.
You know, we had like 200 pairs of Altitude 13s at the time. Domeney and Naoki had stores on Smash, bro, like Singapore, Japan.
Wow.
Like they were buying shoes from dudes that couldn't sell, you know. And then me and Domeney did a road trip, you know, like we drove from New York to Chicago, bro, buying sneakers before the store opened, you know, like Joe from Clientele was doing that, you know, like, and Dro that worked with him over at Clientele and Lafayette,
which
Flight Club later came and took that store. At two, whatever it was, Lafayette. They came in and took that store and took the employees that were in that store because Dan, right? James's brother, he just gave up on it or something like that, you know? Like, but we went on road trips. I bought 40 to 60 pairs of patent leather Jordan 1s, red, white, and black, and blue and white. I caught them.
I
caught them in Troy, New York at some random Korean dude sneaker store. And I was like, how many pairs you got? He was like, how many do you want? I was like, all of them.
Every pair.
Every pair. And left with like 68, 60-something pairs.
I remember they had the little silver Jumpman hanging off.
Paid like $45 for those shits.
Wow.
And we sold them at Flight Club for $175. I sold out in like 2 weeks' time.
Wow.
You know, like, we used to go to this spot in Philly called Joseph's Under the L, bro.
And I've been to that place.
Those dudes right there were like, that was like the mecca of OG footwear.
They
like,
still have shit like there, bro, like you, vintage
you
Air Max.
You had to convince this dude
yep.
to let it's you like in old the basement.
It's old Korean family.
You know, like the
Is
gods.
Is that where you went last year?
Yeah, that's where the shoes I was showing you.
You guys know like the styrofoam life-size Godzilla and the Charles Barkley mm-hmm, and the one where like Grandmama and Larry, he had all those in-store assets in the basement leaning against the walls. And I was like,
collecting dust.
Wow. Like what the? And then there was a spot in Delaware that we hit this lady and she had Sneakerscape or Sportscape, something like that. Julie was her name on Market Street. One store had gotten flooded. We bought kids' Jordans for like $12, $18. The true blue threes, the black, because the boxes were damaged. Mm. We flipped them at Flight Club for like $125, $150.
Were you guys getting sneakers from the brands back then at all? No? Or was that like behind the scenes shit?
There was dudes that sent footwear through other people, right? So we'd get a lot of PE footwear at the time, right? We had like every player exclusive imagined. Like Nike would come to the store, like Jerry Alaka, Tinker had been to the store,
oh, wow.
and they would all come and like look. And, like,
how'd you get these?
You know, like Kelly Hibbler was one of the dudes back then. Dave this is Schreiber.
Some who work for, these are people who work for Nike.
These were the Nike dudes. Like I remember meeting the lady that did the fireball on the Agassiz. Her name was like Annie Lennox, wow. right? And mm-hmm. she was like, "Yeah, I designed this." I was like, "Wow, it's fucking crazy!" Like I wore these shits like throughout my life, you know, like. And I was like, and then that dude Sergio or whatever that did like the 95s, he came to Flight Club and had never seen all his shoes in one place.
Sick.
You know, it was pretty dope. You know, and then we had like a showcase and we had the Flams that I sold for $8,500. Yo, so I sold a pair of Flams at Flight Club for $8,500, right? Some dude ordered them online from North Carolina and shit, right?
What year is this?
So this is like 2007, right?
Right for the after love like of money Flight dogs.
Right after Flight Club TV.
Which are worth
right?
like 20K plus.
Listen. So we get an order for $8,515 for one pair of shoes. And everybody was like, yo, it's sold. And we're like, who bought it? You know, like some random dude. So I call up the dude and I'm like, yo, he's not picking up. We got this other girl, Maribel. She worked at Flight Club till recent, like a couple years back. Filipino girl. She used to bring us food and shit, like lumpia and pancit and shit on the weekends. It was great. And so she was like, yo, this dude, like, he's like very, like, you know, and I was like, cool, let me talk to him. I was like, yo, what's good, homie? You know, like, what up? He's like, yo, you just ordered some shoes. Yo, I need you to fax me or email me a copy of your ID and the front and back of the card.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, I ain't got no ID, but state ID. And I was like, yeah, that's what we need, a state ID. He's like, nah, I got a state ID. And I was like, jail ID? And he was like, yeah, I just came home. I was like, the fuck are you doing buying sneakers? Mm-hmm. I want them shits, man. I love money. I was what?
For the love of money.
So he was like, I was like, yo, can you go down to like a pharmacy or like take a picture of? He's like, bet. And he did it. He sent us the picture. We sent him the shoes and he sent us a thank you with like, again, $150 in it and shit.
Wow. And that was the biggest purchase at that time for sure.
Back then, yeah. Yeah. I mean, people had made purchases that were big. Like Fat Joe spent $13,000 one time.
What was he buying?
He spent, he used to buy every Air Force Linens. And Jordans, you know, like he used to buy a lot of that stuff. He never bought like running shoes, only Air Forces and Jordans, you know, like, and he'd be like, yeah, I had these. And he'd be talking all that shit. Like everybody that came into Flight Club was the sneaker god. They had every shoe. Every single shoe before. Oh, I had these and I had these. And I'm like,
you said you have a story about Fabulous playing dice in the back.
Yeah, you guys always used to play dice.
So we used to shut the store down and play dice. Yeah, we had like some really, like, thousands and thousands of dollars went through our hands. You know? Like, Domeni lost like $6,000 in one night. I lost like four. But we were killing it, bro. We were like, I would leave the store to go to the Bape store during a drop and get like six sweaters.
Wow.
Six sweatshirts, right? Anything I wanted, come back to the store, and people would meet me at the store and buy the $350 sweatshirt for $750,
easy
$800,
money.
And then we'd just fucking lose it all. There was this kid, Juju, that worked at Flight Club. He became like a vice president after a while. He was a very young kid. I took him under the wing. He was like, hanging out outside Kmart for like PlayStation one night. And, and I was like, yo, I'm going to that party. You know, I got invited. Come with me. And he couldn't go out because he was a little kid. And he used to call and be like, yo, should I buy these? Should I buy these? You know, like, should I buy these? And then he became like vice president of Flight Club. So Juju cracked Domeni for like $6,000.
In and, a dice game.
In CeeLo. And then like we're playing one night and somebody's knocking on. Everybody would knock on the door at night. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, I just need to get something. I'm like, you should have came before 7 o'clock, bro.
These are customers.
Customers. I used to shut everybody down. I didn't recognize, I'd never really been into sports, you know, like basketball. So basketball players would come and I'd be like, no.
Like Knicks?
I'm like, no, it's just some, you know, some tall black dude at the door, bro. He wants to come in. Who is that? Rome is like, yo, that's Lamar Odom. And I'm like,
wow.
Who is he? You know, like Smush Parker.
Yeah.
You know, like Jerome Bettis.
Yeah.
Right?
When they were all in town, I guess, playing the Knicks.
Come around, you know, like, and I didn't know, to me, there's just some big dude at the door trying to come in after we close. And we're already drinking, hanging out, playing dice. And then Fab is knocking at the door. Oh, shit, I know Fab.
Yeah.
And Fab's talking his shit, nigga, you don't play dice. And I lost like $600 in two rolls. He's like, I'm done with y'all. He's like, I'm done with y'all.
What was he copping from you guys back in the day, sneaker-wise?
I think Fab has always been into Air Forces back then. I think, you know, like, if you guys take note, like, that whole 2005, 6, 7, 8 era was very focused on New York footwear, you know, like, Air Force was really big. There was a lot of strong collaborations coming out, like the LeBron Chamber of Fear.
Right.
You know, like, we had Soul Collector back then. That was huge in footwear. Nike Talk was, like, before Instagram, the boards, it was all a bulletin board. It was where people went and checked what was happening. You know, and it was a really, I mean, I used to blog for Slam Hype back then when it was from New Zealand.
It was my first job. Slam Adam, Hype was my first job.
Adam, really? and Bruce or Bryce or something like that, the two brothers. Like, I used to blog through Flight Club. That's how I got banned from Supreme. Blogging. Why? Because.
You got banned from Supreme?
We can't just let that go by.
I got banned from Supreme because my homie was a messenger.
What year?
07. Well, when did the P-Rod Zoom SB, the first, like the elephant print, not the black future,
the Tinker one.
Yeah, the first, right? The first cement, like,
that was
J Rods. J Rods.
That must have been
06, I think. It was a pink box, right? Yeah.
So, right around that time, I went there to pick up the shoes that Charles had held me down for, and Ryan told me, nah, they ain't here. So, I left, and three dudes that were outside the store came to Flight Club to consign the shoes. So I called over there and started beefing and shit, and randomly James picked up or whatever.
James Jebbia.
Yeah, and I fucking cursed him. You fucking piece of shit. I had no idea who was on
Founder
the other line
Supreme.
Of the phone. Yeah. No idea who was on the other line of the phone. Right?
And didn't care. He definitely didn't care at that time.
Fuck you.
Some random British guy.
Yeah. So then, boom. So then the same fucking day, bro, my boy shows up at Flight Club. He's a messenger. He's like, yo, hold me down on these blah, blah, blah. And I don't remember what shoe it was, but he's like, yo, look what I'm delivering. And he opens his bag. And it was the first Fila Supreme collaboration, the velour suits and shit. Oh. I was like, dope, bro. Let me take a picture of this shit. This shit said world famous on the back. Mm-hmm. I took pictures. I blogged the shit out of it in like 3 seconds. I was like, wait online for this shit.
Broke the embargo.
Yeah.
It was a wrap right there. I got calls from every skater that I knew in New York, everybody that was into sneakers. Yo, where you got that? Who gave you that? Da, 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 da. I was like, I don't have it. What are you talking about? I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and James, he's like, yeah, fuck, it's banned. And I was not allowed in the store anymore. I went in the store one day when, like, BB was there. And this dude, Marty, was like, hey, are you Chris Vidal? I was like, oh, yeah, what's up, bro? He's like, yo, I got to ask you to leave.
Get the
fuck out. Oh, man. He's like, yo, I don't know you.
Most wanted.
They just told me you got to leave.
Somebody saw you. There's a picture of your face behind the register.
It was just like some funny, weird. I mean, like, you know, I go way back. Gio, Jeff, Keith. I skated with all these dudes back in the days, you know? So,
all the original Supreme guys.
Like, Alex, everybody. Anybody you can imagine, Chris Vidal. Like, oh, yeah. That taxi driver T-shirt. My name is on the front of the T-shirt. I got two tags.
On the Travis Bickle joint.
The photo of, but it's called the taxi driver, too, that's in the frame. Mm-hmm. Under the collar next to Keith's name is Chris Vidal. And then on the side, I wrote, let me get a dollar. Because I used to ask for a dollar all the time. Whenever we were skating, I was like, yo, let me get a dollar.
You were saying that Kanye used to shop at Flight Club back in the day?
Yeah, you guys want to hear this Kanye shit, right?
This is
complex. Kanye, we need the Kanye story.
Kanye's a special person. We all know that, right? he saw a vision for himself way before anyone else did, and he fulfilled that vision. Now, now I don't really know what's happening. Like, there's like this Jesus or Jesus, and then there's like food God, you know. So there's like a a battle of the gods in that Kardashian house or something.
Food
right?
God, yeah,
right. So like Jonathan renamed himself.
I don't know about like, that.
Yeah, food, he Jonathan renamed Cheeman. Himself, bro, to food God. Yeah, right?
So food rap has beef with food God.
No.
They're
no.
all part of the God family.
I know, you know, but. But yeah, but you're saying that like...
So no, like Yeezy, Kanye, Don C, like they, them dudes used to come to Flight Club and buy kicks, bro. They used to buy Jordan 3s, buy mad shoes.
What year is this?
2005, 6. This is Green Street time, okay. Before Nassau Street, right? Mm-hmm. So Green Street was 05 to 07. We closed the store on September 10th, 2007. And then on September 11th, 2007, like jerk-offs, we rented a U-Haul truck and filled up the truck with sneakers and drove down Broadway to Nassau Street. We got stopped like every five blocks because it was September 11th.
And
right?
A U-Haul truck.
Mm. Right? They'd open up the back. Darwin, Chow, Ricky, Carlos were in the back of the truck holding up the sneakers so they wouldn't fall, right? Because we had moved like six, it's almost 7,000 pairs of shoes. We didn't lose one pair of kicks, man. Like, we filled that up like three, four times and drove up and down Broadway from 254 Green Street to 120 Nassau Street to open up Flight Club downtown. And then when we opened that up, that was just like crazy because it was a dead man's area at the time. But Domain was like, yo, this is going to build up. He had these like dudes from Crane's Business that got him gassed. This was the spot. This is where you need to be. This is the up and coming. But it didn't up and come in 07, 08. There was that big drop again, you know, like, and
but like interactions with Kanye, could you have seen that he would be half
Kanye
a Jordan?
Kanye West
half
used to come in the store and buy mad shoes. One day he comes in the store and he makes me grab like 7-8 pairs of shoes. And I go downstairs and I'm like opening the shoes, making sure that everyone's super crispy because he was mad picky. He's like, nah, the stitching is off on this one. Or, nah, where's the hang tag? Like, he was super, like, into it, you know? Like, and it was weird because, you know, he was like the Louis Vuitton Don at the time, right? So he'd really come in looking like that, you know? Like, backpack and Don Crawley was like his, like, road manager or his dude, you know? Right. Like, this was before Don was like a... Don C, just Don, the designer. Like, this was, you know, like, he didn't regular evolve dude. Into that guy
Chicago
until...
kids, yeah.
Well, it's all the Chicago kids, really, now, right? Yeah. All the kids from Chicago became... Because that's what it's all about, this market now. But, like, Kanye used to come in and... Yeah, and then one day he was just like, yeah, get me this, and this. And I come up and I'm fucking sweating, bro. Like, it's hot in the basement downstairs. We had no AC downstairs, you know? Like, and I'm like, yo... And I come up those stairs, and he put his hand in my face, bro. Like, told me to wait because he was on the phone. And I fucking lost it. Like, like I came up high blood. I was like, fuck this. I dropped all the shoes. I walked out the store and shit. Rome came behind me. Domani was picking up the shoes. And, yo, I'm sorry. I don't know what the fuck happened. I was like, yo, I'm mad. This fucking guy's a dick, bro. I fucking catered to him, bro. I was like, fuck this dude and his music. And I fucking like, lost it, bro. I became a Kanye hater in that day, and like.
Was Kanye pissed? Did you ever hear any feedback from?
No, I came back from going to the store, and he was gone. He bought all the shoes and left. He didn't give a shit about me. I was just another guy that got mad at Kanye. Like, I was irrelevant. Like, you know, like.
You don't seem to be the type that, I wouldn't say starstruck, but was there anyone who came in that you were like, all right, this is a pretty cool moment back in those days?
Ice Cube.
Okay.
Ice Cube came in with his kids, and I was scared for a moment. I was like, I thought he had a gun on him or some shit. The way he walked in the store and looked around at everybody, and then he has like, I was like, oh shit, that's Cube. You know, like, yo, I met David Beckham in A-Life, right? Yeah. When I met Ice Cube, I was like, oh shit, that's Ice, that's Fuck the Police. Mm-hmm. That's straight out of Compton, you know, like, that's fucking.
You sell him some Ice Cube Air Force.
I was like, yo, I was like, I told him, I said, yo, I'm fucking. Like, shook right now to meet you and shit, bro. He's like, yo, chill, what's your name, homie?
That's awesome.
Like, I was like, Chris, bro. He's like, yo, he gave me his number. Like I probably still have it in my phone to this day. Like, and fucking, he's probably the only one I was like, sick, you know, like, that's fucking crazed, you know, like, because I think that his involvement in history, you know, was just like so part of my like upbringing that I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, David Beckham is sick, but.
Yeah.
never fucking played soccer in Brooklyn, bro. I didn't give a fuck about that shit. Like, the only thing I knew about was the arguing between soccer and football.
Right.
Well, this is football.
You
should have
asked James Jebbia.
You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, Chris, it's not...
The moment that I think I recognize you not growing up in the New York area was like the first viral sneaker moment where you were actually on the Tyra Banks show.
Yeah, that shit and was crazy.
And she like made you out to be like a sneaker drug addict and you couldn't.
Heard?
She took away your PlayStation Air Force Ones for a week with your wife or girlfriend at the time.
You were spending $12,000 a year on sneakers at that point, I think you said.
Well, I was like, no, I spent that much in 3 months or something like that. You know, I mean, that was the time of the Air Force One. And I'll tell you, I was the plug. Because the dude at Nike that works for PlayStation was like, yo, I was like, yo, I'll get you 2 G's for each of these. He's like, whatever you get me past that, you could keep. So I was getting like 7 pairs and selling. I remember.
But you were reselling sneakers for people at Nike?
I ain't saying that. I did not say that. Yeah. I said I was helping a dude out.
Feds might be listening.
Yeah, I was helping a dude out. Yeah. You know, like that's how it was. I mean, retail was all about relationships back in the day, right? You had relationships with certain shops, certain people, and they trusted you. They believed in you. They knew you wasn't going to go out saying anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you wasn't going to be like, yo, I got these from Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like he sent me this prototype that, you know, is, you know, like.
Was there a lot of stock that went directly from retailers to Flight Club back in the day?
From retailers, yes. It's still today, bro. Still today. There's like, I mean, people know that if they get 18 pairs of Yeezys and they sell 5 through a raffle, it looks like they sold 18 pairs. And then they could put 10 pairs in Flight Club for X amount of dollars or to Stadium Goods or sell them to Round 2 for instant cash and then make the rent. Because you don't get that drop every time now, and you don't have control over it like retail was before, where you got a shop, you were at A-Life, and you got some Reebok pumps, A-Life brand, and you were the only one, and somebody in London wanted them, but they got all the JD Sport exclusives, you know, and you were like, yo, I need those. I'll trade you footwear, or I'll sell you this, you sell me that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the stores and retailers did that. And now, to this day, why wouldn't you?
Some of the brands even do. I know Adidas has put
Adidas sneakers directly Adidas in. Was the first account that Flight Club opened, right? And New Era. And I spazzed, right? Because I was like, yo, we've been talking about how we're standalone, we're consignment, we don't need no brands. And then Domani went and did a deal with Adidas to sell, like, inline shoes. And I was like, what is this? I mean, the logistics behind the deal were a lot bigger because at that time, Adidas wasn't the brand that it was, and it needed play. You know, it needed to be in that top shelf store. It was more like, you know, not at eye level. Mm-hmm. Nobody was looking for those shoes at you know, like Nike and Jordan Brand dominated the market.
But you said that, to bring it back, you said that Tyra...
Sorry, we're on a giant tangent right now.
Tyra Banks made you look crazy, like on television. Like you
so
were
my, So my girl, Melody, I'm still with today, was watching the Tyra Banks show like every other chick back then or whatever. And they were like, if your boyfriend or your husband has an addiction that you don't understand, please call like 1-800, Tyra is going to ruin your life or something like that, right? So I'm in Flight Club in the basement. I get a random phone call, and I'm like, oh, it's like, hi, this is Blase Blah from the Tyra Banks. And I'm like, this is who from what? I was like, this is telemarketing and shit. Don't call me no more. She's like, no, Melody told us to call. And I'm like, what? Mm. So I'm like, yo, can you tell me more about like your addiction to sneakers? And I was like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? Who is this? So then I was like, yo, let me go take the call. And they're like, yeah, we're going to send somebody. And like a producer shows up, and he's like, yo, I want to talk to you about this. And back then, you know, like, I mean, look, we're sitting in a room right now. We have a whole production team. It's 2019, about to be 2020. And back then, this was so new about sneakers. Everybody was calling them fucking tennis shoes.
Mm. Yeah.
Nobody respected sneakers. It's true. Like, oh, you spent $300 on sneakers? You're a jerk.
Yep.
But with a D-I-C-K. That's how they said it. You know, like, what are we, 15?
Yeah.
Spending all that money? Who's my? And I'm like, chill, yo.
Yeah.
Sold that $300 pair for like $1,500. What's wrong with you? You know, like,
chill
out. And like, you know, like, I never called them, you know, like tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't play tennis in Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, like some people played soccer, but nobody really fucking played tennis unless you went to Poly Prep or one of those schools, you know, like the Berkeley Carroll School. So she's like, yeah, and the producer's like, boom, and then next thing you know, we're fucking in California at the Hollywood some shit on Sunset Boulevard waiting to go on the Tyra Banks show to talk about 7 days of, like, not being with shoes. And like, you guys may have not seen the whole episode. Like, there was one dude that was addicted to internet porn. You know, like, his name was Tracy, and his girl was Stacy. And then, like, Nicole Richie was, like, in the other room, and she was, like, talking about being addicted to some other shit, like makeup and like shopping. And then like AM was the homie at the time, may rest, you know, like I called him up and was like, yo, Nicole Richie's here, bro. I was like, yo, what should I do? Could I say, he's like, nah, leave her alone, she's probably mad nervous, you know, like. And AM and me had a really cool relationship because, yo, he was a real sneakerhead.
Yeah, this,
you know,
is
he
DJ
was like, yo, what, yeah, you know. And he was like, yo, what are you doing? I was like, yo, I'm on the fucking Tyra Banks show, they're about to talk to me. He's like, yo, come by Undefeated later and I'll meet you there, you know. And that's how I was gifted, like, the Entourage, Air Force One, back then, you know, people called the Fukijama, the blue and white pair. You know, I was gifted, like, the Inside Out, Undefeated Air Force Ones back then. Like,
you had the Undefeated Fours, too?
I had the Undefeated Jordan Fours back when, like, they weren't $1 billion. I skated in them shits at Sneaker Pimps, and, like, I got booed off stage when, like, I was, whatever. You know, like, that was, like, 2008, 2009, Wale, I was taking photos. You know, I've always taken photos, event photos, and I've always, like, an idiot giving everybody the photos for free. I never charged anybody. It was always like, yo, you want the pictures? What's your email? Like, you know, I wasn't into that. That wasn't what I did.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I wasn't, like, charging people. So the Tyra Banks show, I'm like, fucking, yo, I have to give up shoes. And I'm like, I work at Flight Club. Yeah. So then we go there and we interview.
You had the PlayStation Air Force Ones on.
Listen, yeah. So then, like, I had two pairs of PlayStations, right? I had number 149 and I had number 63, right? So I was like, bet. I bought number 149 the morning I was going on the show for $13.50 from somebody because they had a size 10, and the pair I had was a 10 and a half, and I didn't want to crease them shits, right? Right? You remember this,
You're
right?
Sitting there with your,
right?
with your feet
right.
kind of to the
me,
side.
Right, you see me, like, holding the shoes because I didn't
want to
crease
the
them, yo. Right? So and she's talking about it. I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah. Well, I'm like, how much are the ones? I'm like, how much are they worth? Or how much did I pay for them?
Yeah.
Because there's a difference in that. Because, like, yo, you got those for retail? You know them shits are 2 G's. Or you know them. Mm-hmm. Nah, I paid they're just leather and rubber. Relax. So that's how you shit on people when you got kicks for cheap or for free, right? Don't do that no more because that's just mean, right? It's like, oh, the guy's a mean guy, you know? Like, so, and, like, I have to give up shoes. And, like, you know, Melody has, like, this little camera. And she has to, like, candidly film me. Like, and she got me on eBay. And I'm like, and that's like what we were doing. We were buying shoes 24/7 to flip at Flight Club, right?
Yeah.
I would go on eBay and find the dudes with the biggest feedback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Biggest inventory. There was like a Foot Soldier, this kid Jeremy, There was an ID for shoes. There was
like
Pick, pick your shoes. Remember that dude?
Of course, pick your shoes.
It was like the shoe game. All these dudes, I reached out to and was like, yo, you dudes can make money here. We'll ship those shits. We'll do everything. And you get paid. If you need me to if you need me to cash the check, I'll go. And I would cash checks for people and go deposit it right into their bank account. That's how it happened with a lot of employees from certain brands, too. But I will leave that for another episode. You know what I'm saying? Because they needed their shoes highlighted at that time, right? Yo, I was on ABC World News talking about footwear. But going back to Tyra real quick, I hate talking about it, you know, because it was like a blessing and a curse at the same time. You know, like, because imagine, like, everybody's like, oh, I saw you on the...
Yeah.
Damn, man, chill, yo.
Well, now you're validated, though. You were ahead of the curve.
And the one time I was scared of being on the Tyra Banks show, I was standing outside Flight Club smoking a cigarette. I used to smoke Marlboros, right? And a white Bentley pulls up. Just gets, says, yo, I need to talk to you, homie. And I'm like, holy shit, who is this dude? This fucking huge brolic. He's like, yo, man, my wife is tight at me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Are you sure? My name is Chris, bro. He's like, yo, I'm Shaw Money, G-Unit Records. And I'm like, what? He's like, yo, I collect sneakers just like you, bro.
Shaw Money.
And I was like, holy shit, bro. You just gave me a heart attack, man. Yeah. What the fuck? And they gave me a pound hug. He's like, invited us all to the Lloyd Banks shit or whatever it was. Like,
they gave you a chain?
No.
No spinning chain?
G-Unit tank top?
I had my own chain, B. Look, I got my own shit. I've had my chain since like 2000, man. I got 13 carats in there, 4 carats in the chain.
Chris, you know, were any famous people selling shoes at Flight Club back in the day, or were they all buying shoes? You know what I mean? Was anybody unloading their collection?
I have a list of about 14,000 people because I kind of like started the give me your phone number and give me your email thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Eric that wrote the script for Flight Club in FileMaker through Mac was like, yo, get people's info. That way we can email them stuff. And I should be like, yo, it's 2005. You don't have an email, bro? Go on Yahoo and you want to make one right now. And we used to make emails and do some just like crazy shit. So imagine like I have at least 14,000 people from just Flight Club from 2005 to 2008's names and email addresses. I have people's old phone numbers. I see people. I'm like, oh shit, I remember you. What's your name? And I'll scroll through my phone and be like, is that you? They'll be like, yo, bro, I had that when I was 15 in Facebook or Mi Gente or Black Planet or whatever those shits were.
Because we heard like stories of people like Action Bronson would say like once in a while they'd come and drop sneakers off.
Action was the homie. Action's still the homie. He was friends with Mayhem Loren. He's still friends with Mayhem Loren. He used to do Action in the Kitchen at his dad's restaurant in Queens. They used to work. You remember Action in the Kitchen?
I do.
A YouTube guy. Bro.
I do.
He used to cook Action on in YouTube.
The Kitchen. Action in the Kitchen. It came up in a meeting 2 weeks ago because Action in the Kitchen had an episode about leftovers for Thanksgiving.
He made a
turkey sandwich, and I was like, I don't fuck with turkey, but Action Bronson in an old video made the turkey leftovers look amazing. Action in the Kitchen.
Action. He had an episode where he chopped some onions that everybody talks about. That he did it faster than anybody's ever seen. But yeah, bro, he used to. I mean, he's a size 12. I used to bring him kicks. You know, like I used to bring mad people kicks. I went to Jay-Z's office. I went to Jay-Z's office and Sneaker Joe. You guys know Sneaker Pimp? Sneaker Joe? He's the original SneakerPimp.com.
Okay.
He was the original plug for all the artists back in the days. Hands down, he was the dude that was sitting on the couch when I went to Jay-Z's office with this girl, Rebecca Petrie. She's a stylist. She's like Questlove style. She's like, yo, Jay-Z wants to see some footwear.
What'd you bring?
I brought the PlayStation. I tried to get him for 3 G's, and he was like, fuck no. He was like, you stupid. And some dude named Kai, his homie, was like, for sneakers you're going to throw off stage? And I was like, when have you ever thrown sneakers off stage? Did you walk off stage barefoot that I don't remember?
I don't remember.
The dude Kai was tight. Like, they were talking shit, and Joe was like, chill, 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 food, chill, Chris, chill. And he ended up taking, like, white-on-white Air Forces. I think he took like Raptors. That was like Nas's favorite shoe. Nas always used to come in and get Raptors.
Classics.
I have photos of him buying kicks and with Domani. Domani was mad weird about taking a picture with Nas. I was like, bro, you're from Long Island. Like, that's like your guy, you know? Like, what the fuck, you know? Like, Travis McCoy from Gym Class Heroes.
We were just talking about him.
He was like the dude back in that
Bro,
era. First time he came to the store, I had no idea who was. I did not listen to Cupid or none of that shit. Me and him became super cool. He took my little sister to fucking VH1 Unplugged that, like, it was filmed at 106 in Park. He fucking used to invite us to, like, all his shows. We went to, he had a bar called Angels and Kings in the Lower East Side. Like, that dude, to this day, he just sent me a text recently. He's like, yo, what am I supposed to do with all these size 13 and 12 shoes that I got? I feel like I wear a 14 now. I'm like, yo, send me a list. I'll help you move them.
I wanted to ask about that. You're still so passionate about it. Do you ever get the itch to really go full in? You know, I talked to PJ Tucker and he's like, I hit up people in Russia and it's reminding me of how you were working contacts back in the day. Do you ever get the itch of, like, I want to show these kids how to do it?
I mean, I go to some of the I went to the MoMA when the
Air Force One, the
MCAs?
The black one released,
MoMA's right?
Here in the city.
And you were supposed to go to, like, some place and get a ticket and do some other shit and then come back here. And I was, like, I was there and there was, like, 70 people online already. I was, like, I can't go there.
Yeah.
And I started looking at the kids online, and they're all kids that went to Flight Club back in the days. They're like all the top reseller dudes now, like Upscale Crack, Lou the Don, Cartel Kicks, RV, all the kids you see in like the Complex Con videos, like Soul, whatever that thing was in Miami, Soul Fly,
right,
for that Jordan 1. And like they made like those weird like fight videos with like Tekken on Instagram, like... I'm like, yo, and they're like, yo, G. And I'm like, damn, I'm just like the old guy now. Nobody calls me Chris anymore. What's up with that, bro? And they're like, yo, what happened? And like, yo, it's like, yo, you got to go downtown and get a wristband. And I'm like, yo. So I go to walk away, and there's like, yo, Chris. And I turn around, and it's like, yo. He's like, do you know that one day I was there with my moms? And he just told me some crazy story about like how I held him down. I looked out for him. And he's like, yo, here. And he gave me a fucking wristband.
Wow, I love that.
When you got the shoes?
And I was like number five online.
I love that.
Right? And I was just like, and the dudes there were like, yo, you got to go to the back and see if you can get to the front. I was like, really? I was like, I'm 40 something years old, bro. Like, what's happening right now? He's like, yo, just do it, bro. And, you know, some of those dudes, you don't know them.
Yeah.
You know, you've never seen these security guards at the MoMA. You know, they're like bouncers at the club. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, you're not coming in unless you're getting table service, buddy.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So bought the shoes and shit. And I only got a size 13 that day. And then I...
resold them.
I mean, I held them for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
But would you ever go full in? You just don't have
it's
time.
It's hard, man.
You just don't
have time, I got soon-to-be four-year-old boy and girl twins. Right, you know, I'm blessed to that. I get really aggravated at the bullshit, too, because, oh, yeah, I can't. I have to raffle them. You're a fucking liar.
Right.
Okay, I know how this works. Right. I was on that side of there for a long time, okay, and I understand how this works, you know.
Backdooring.
Last time I worked in a sneaker was at A-Life again in 2015, right before my kids were born, you know, and, like, then they got into bed with Packer or whatever, you know. They formed the union. And then, you know, not every marriage lasts the test of time, right?
Yeah.
So now they're in doing it with, you know, and A-Life is like, A-Life is probably one of the most influential brands in New York street culture.
Absolutely.
Because it represents street culture, not just footwear. You know, graffiti, art, you know, bombing, Kunle being arrested inside the store. Mm-hmm. It's, you know,
concerts
like
in the back.
Concerts. Yeah. I mean, we did some of the great, we did Drake, like that video online. It's like my video. Like, I filmed that with Cliff Cristofaro, and we got paid nothing for that, like.
And then Tommy works for
Tommy.
Drake now.
Tommy was the reason that Drake
Tommy
was in the back.
Tommy worked
of
at Complex
store.
Too.
Tommy worked at Complex. Tommy worked at the
Tommy
Polo
Campos
Mansion.
Worked at Complex?
Yep.
Yeah. Tommy Campos worked at DC Shoes at the Polo Mansion. Yep. You know, like Tommy used to get his. You know, he's still getting his. You know, like, but like Supreme. You know, a strong brand in skate culture that took the dive into streetwear culture.
You were telling me that about Super too, because you worked at Super as
well.
You're saying that Wayne kind of like Lil Wayne sent
that Lil Wayne diluted that brand in a way where people walked away from it. Like they skated away from Supra because, you know, it's like, yo, he was like Justin Bieber on a skateboard.
Mm-hmm. When were you at Supra? Sorry, just
2012 to 2014.
I remember seeing you at the Superstore.
I opened up the Brooklyn store and then we opened up the Santa Monica store. And Paris was then open. I didn't go to Paris, but I used to have like these morning calls with all stores, and have to like learn little bits of French to understand what these people were saying at times, you know, like I could count in French and shit like that, you know, it's cool.
Supra had a real moment.
Well, Supra did really good. We used to mimic the, so Supra was successful in a way because Matt Fontana became president of Global Brands. Mm-hmm. Matt Fontana worked at Complex here. Yes. Matt Fontana was a manager at A-Life until 2008, during like when A-Life had Canada open and her, and Japan was open. Matt was a very important or, integral part of mm-hmm. streetwear culture, yeah. you know, like... He was around for, and he became president of Global Brands at Supra, and he did that deal with Lil Wayne for the Spectre, which was supposed to be a different component of the brand.
This is the Chimera shoe, right?
The Chimera, and then became like, you know, a strong focus for the brand. So, you know, like, it was, we had Lil Wayne's face in the store, man, yeah. big. People yeah. would walk in, and Lil Wayne's face, they'd see Lil Wayne, you know, like, but then we mimicked something that we used to do at A-Life, which was like sessions, A-Life sessions. So we did Saturday sessions at Supra. We had different DJs every week, right? Mm. So we gave a lot of opportunities to a lot of dope DJs. And I think we had DJ Premier there, which was really epic, you know, like, but we had Scott Storch and Matt.
Smoke cigarettes in the store. Listen, with the keyboard?
Getting a haircut?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not Scott Storch. Scott Free, I think it was. Scott okay. Free. And Mateo, who from when Biggie was like, peace to Mateo, now yeah. we smoke weed. Like, they DJ'd the store. And I was like, yo, this is fucking epic. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is like something that people have no idea, you know? And then, you know, like, we had Party Supplies. He was killing it. Justin's fucking awesome. He was DJing for probably like Jay-Z at the time. And we probably had like... the Little People or something like that, the Something People, a bunch of kids that were from New York that were like really hot at the time. And we did a lot. And we did the HNIC 3 album for mm-hmm. for Prodigy.
Rest in peace.
May he rest in peace, which was, he was super cool. He's like one of the coolest artists.
Did he ever come into Flight Club?
He came into Flight Club. He came into A-Life. He came into Supra. I never seen him in Packers. I saw Fat Joe when I worked at Packers. I worked at Packers briefly in like 2010 to 2011 mm-hmm. Before I made Mike's Twitter account.
Wow.
You know, like it was my
email. I didn't
even
know Mike had a Twitter account.
He barely was into it. I made the Facebook account. Like Ryan worked there, like Al. It was a really sick time, you know?
What do you think about these reselling kids nowadays, though? Like you see like the photos on, you know, the internet. There was like a photo the other day with these kids literally built
that
a
kid
wall.
In front of all the Jordan 11s, right?
Or there was a kid who built a wall of Yeezys.
These kids just remind me of Air Randy. You guys may not remember Air Randy.
Air Randy had all the photos before, but they weren't legit, right?
Some were, some weren't. Supposedly, Air Randy used to send mad shoes to Flight Club, bro.
Wow.
Air Randy was my guy.
Marquis Soul
was his site later.
It was all on black. Remember the images were all on
water?
Everybody had a resale site. Yu Ming had a resale site. Everybody had a resale site.
Bridge Footwear.
There was Flight Club, there was mm-hmm. Pick Your Shoes, there was ID for Shoes, there was all those different sites. There was Rift, there was LA Avenue from Japan, there was all those sites. The most exclusive one was Yahoo Auctions because they would never ship to the US. You had to like buy a mail buy, you had to do some crazy shit to try to get shoes. But I mean, nowadays it's very different. The culture is very bullied. Like back then, people would try to skip the line. And you wouldn't let them, you know, like when the Soul Collector, remember the
Dunks, the Cowboy Joints?
The Cowboy Dunks released that in Nike Town, mm-hmm. right? That line was retarded, but it was calm. Yeah. It was cool. Mm. You know, like I emceed that with Bobito and Ed Lover. Ed Lover was huge into footwear back. Mm-hmm. He was a staple in footwear. The YoMTV Raps Boomers. Yeah. There was Nice Kicks on like Elizabeth Street.
Yeah.
There was so many different shops, you know, that were so important in like building this. But nowadays it's like people approach you coming out the store like, yo, I'll give you this much for this.
That's
what it is now. So now there's a group of cats that hang out outside round two mm-hmm. and they'll wait for, yo, what you got? You know, and they'll try to buy it before round two does. You know, and they'll follow you in the store to intimidate you.
Yeah.
Some cats, you know. And
Sean Weatherspoon blocked you on social media, right?
Oh, man. Me,
what? Where did that come from?
Me and Paul Givalecki and have fun on Instagram. PG knows.
Oh, man, that's his boy.
Shout out. Yeah. He's an old Air Force One head. He's been buying shoes forever, selling shoes. Yeah, he was around in the early Flight Club days and has still been around. And he made a post about these... Air Force One SCs, the black with the gray check, 1998. I was like, them shits was the best. They were great. Mm-hmm. great time for Air Forces. City Pack was right after that. Yeah. All those different purple and whites. And like even one of those shoes won Sneaker of the Year one time, the purple and white and the Stash. And when there was like those you know, the one night onlys.
Yep.
And I was, he said, oh yeah, I used to love the buttery suede on those shoes. And
Sean
like,
said this.
Yeah, and I was like, yo, man, get the fuck out of here, man. You a hypebeast late to the, you a hypebeast general late to the party. You never rocked those in 1998 because I know that he's only like 30, you know, he's younger than us, you know? So like, for me, it was like, oh, all right, cool. Like, say it the right way. Don't say like, because cats weren't rocking Air Forces like that outside of New York and certain places, you know? Like it's
in the late 90s.
Come on, man, you're lying. It's a lie. It's cool. You posted like, oh yeah, cool. I like that shoe. Great. You probably resold it in round two and thought it was a dope shoe to hold in your hand. Some jewels. Like I ain't gonna lie. I probably didn't wear the mini swoosh jewels. I didn't like those.
Right.
You know, like, but don't come on and like. So then, like, he blocked me, and then like a post came later. It's like, oh, I hate all these old dudes talking all that shit. Why don't you just let people live or go live your own? Or I'm very successful, and I'm like, oh man. That was weak sauce. You know, like, I wanted him to mention something so then I could have like real beef with him. But
you wanted the beef?
I mean, why not? It makes it for fun online.
But
bro.
Do you ever worry about...
Everybody's kissing everybody's ass online now. Everybody's like, oh my God, he's the greatest designer in the world. It's like, bro, all those Louis Vuitton sneakers are fakes to us back in the days because they used to make fake customs. Mm-hmm. Those Christian Dior Jordan ones definitely look fake, like fake Dior's.
The print on the swoosh.
You know, like back in, nobody even says Christian Dior, right? Like the Dior Jordan one, right? Like those
Do you ever worry though about like gatekeeping or kind of setting up requirements for people to be into it? Like you had to be this old or you had to be around.
We lost control of the narrative a long time ago. You know, like money took over, hype took over. There's no like, even the guys that were there, me, Clark, Bobito, all the people that used to be prevalent and talk about Mayer, all these people that used to talk about footwear, don't control the narrative or speak about it in a way. They just talk about a particular collaboration with their man and how dope it is or how this. That's like how you see that whole Chicago clique grew because they saw something and they pushed each other. So each other put each other on each other's platform to grow and get bigger. Mm-hmm. Not saying that some of those guys aren't great designers, but I heard last episode you guys talking shit about the Cactus Plant Flea Market Vapor Max.
Yeah,
and like, I don't know about smiley faces on this and that. And it's like, yeah, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because even Bieber's got a company called Drew with a big smiley face on it, right? And then, like, so you're just like, wow, where has design come to? Like, where has this merch drop come to now? Because now you know they smartened up. Everybody smartened up, and it's made to order. They're not printing 500 shirts and hoping to sell out of them. Now you're waiting 4 to 6 weeks, you know, for product that other people are wearing.
Do you think we'll ever get the feeling back of, like, that 2006 era of sneakers?
I mean, look at... The cost of footwear is stupid high now too. Like, and then like the collaborations don't make sense anymore. You know, like some of them collaborations used to be based on merits. It used to be a celebration of two brands coming together, like some sick shit. You know, like when Clot first did Nike and those, you were like, wow, Edison Chen, who is this dude? When Sabotage, the first customizer to have his own SB dunk.
That was crazy.
I have those shits in my house.
Yeah.
My girl's size. I used to buy her everything. I got mad shoes in my girl's size, you know, like 7, 7.5 that I never sold, but may get sold someday soon, you know, like Vibe Air Force Ones, you know, like all kinds of like random stuff that I remember. I got the Vibe Air Force Ones from Will Perkins. I gave him the De La Soul Dunks and he gave me the Vibe, but he was the guy at Vibe that was giving away shoes.
And then he worked at Nike.
So you still resell sneakers or no, you're like still in the reselling game at all? Like do you consider yourself still a reseller?
I focus more on art, man. I have a really retarded art collection. Like, I own over 500 pieces of art. I own, like, 11 Banksys, like, 12 Invaders, like, 190 Shepard Fairey pieces. Like, that's how I got involved with Beyond the Streets. And then I worked for A-Life for the Henry Chalfant exhibit at the Bronx Museum, doing his 10-year retrospective for merch, you know, curating the merch with Rob. Like, you know, like, it's hard with footwear now because you can't go somewhere and get 20 pairs, 10 pairs to make it. You get one pair. And then you make a couple, you know, and it's like, damn, I had to beg this dude. It's kind of like foul. Because the dudes that are in charge now are your friends for mad years, but you know that they got mad friends too, mm-hmm. and people that they want to hook up. Mm-hmm. I didn't get none of those Travis Scott Air Force Ones. I didn't get like those Virgil Off-White shoes like mm-hmm. from stores because they had people that were regular customers that they needed to hook up, you know. But if I could get 10 pairs of Off-White Jordan Ones,
some of these 14-year-olds have 30 pairs of Off-White Jordan.
There's some kid, I don't know him, but Benjamin Kicks,
yeah,
you know him?
Yeah.
That kid be killing it. Like, yeah. even like, there was that little Saudi kid back in the days.
Emirati, right? Money Kicks. Best friends with Fat Joe.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Those kids, like, you know, but there was also people that had mad dough, like Richard Shulman. He used to come to Flight Club in his brand new one of seven Porsches. You know, and mm-hmm. ask and buy shoes and resell shoes too. You know, like Michael Siegel was another dude that was very important, like buying shoes and reselling shoes. He helped fund a couple of shops at a time. You know, like there's a lot of people that were involved behind the scenes in these stores that gave stores money to keep going at the time so that they became resellers because they saw the market. Is there ever going to be that market again? The brand controls it. Yeah. They've become the direct to consumer. They've removed the relationships from retail. You know, the raffles. You don't have store. Who the fuck needs store management? All you need to fucking have been worked at was a carnival so you can hand out raffle tickets to motherfuckers that come to your store. Hey, sign this, put your phone number there, and see you later, jerk off. You know, like that's it, because they already have their people that they're going to pick. You know, and they'll pick maybe three or four people that nobody knows randomly and hook them up. That's how it goes at every store, you know. But it's not a bad thing because you have to keep your customers happy too.
Yeah.
How do you keep your customers happy and how do you keep that money going when you're not like selling stuff because the market is down or something else, or because you don't have that hot collabo, that hot new stuff, you know? But will there ever be a market like that? No, because people don't have the money. Like, retailers are not wholesaling shoes to people. They're selling them for box price. Back then, you could get stuff. You could ask a reseller, yo, can you order me 30 pairs of these? I'll pay you 30% over wholesale. Or I'll give you 20% over wholesale. You know, and it doesn't happen anymore.
Totally. Yeah. I think perfect time to wrap up. I feel like
we could have gone for,
man, this could have been 3 hours. We got so much history. And the thing that I love about talking to someone like you is,
I'm not bound by anything. I say whatever I want.
But also,
I got homies in the game. Mike LaPalooza, he tells me, yo, stop talking.
But also the passion that you display for this, I think, invigorates all of us again. We do this on a daily basis, and to hear your old stories and how passionate you still are about the space, it's been like an honor for us to talk to you and hopefully, and I think definitely, educate a lot of kids who are going to listen to this.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, now that we're in places where we can kind of, you know, dictate the narrative or whatever, where it's nice to get people to have these conversations, because if we don't put these conversations down, then they kind of just get erased from, you know, history and their sketchy blog posts from back in the day that don't exist anymore, mm-hmm. You know?
You know, Flight Club laid out the groundwork for all these kids that became resellers, mm-hmm. and because their parents used to bring them into the store and wonder why they were coming here so much.
What's going on here? What
you
is
know,
this?
Like, mm-hmm. What's going on? And that's when I got to meet a lot of, you know, other people that were in different fields. And that's how a lot of, like, the media stuff. And, like, you know, like, we did a Mitchell and S collab at Flight Club. We you know, like, and these kids were like, Dad, look, you know, like, I really need these shoes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wear them. And the parents, the father wouldn't understand. You know, I'd be like, oh, really? How much is that Panerai on your wrist? Right. I remember there was this woman and she had a Jimmy Choo bag and she was telling her daughter, no, no, no. And I was like, how much was that Jimmy Choo bag now that you're telling your daughter no for a pair of sneakers? You want to try to get money from somewhere else? And she was like, I never. And I said, same. You know, and she bought her daughter the shoes. It turns out that lady was like something Khan from the MTA, Sadia Khan, or she was like the current commissioner for the MTA. Wow. And it was crazy. But you know, like this was the place where kids learned that sneakers can be a commodity. Yes. It could be a business. It could be something that I could be into. And I mean, I made it cool for kids to work in a sneaker shop because they were like, yo, I want to work in a shop. I want to yell at people too. I want to tell people.
That's what I appreciate too, so much too. Like, I think my favorite story you told was about being in the line for the MoMA Air Force Ones, and how the people there respected you because they knew you from back then. And that so often in this community, we're kind of cynical about like using the word culture or about there being like a consistent story or narrative. And this proves that there is really something going on through the years, and these connections exist, and that we, again, have the responsibility to teach young people about why this is important, or like look after them
and where it started.
Yeah.
Because it's like that old guy on the block that moved away and didn't tell the young kids how to act. Don't come outside wearing pink, you know, like, and now it's like all over the place, you know, like kids do whatever they want, cursing at the OGs. You got 6ix9ine ratting. You got them screaming like suck my to every rapper in the game. Like, you don't do that back in the days, you know. I'll tell you one quick story. Terminology came to Flight Club, bro, and he had, like, made a deal to do a video in front of the store, and, like, I got there late, and I walk in, I go, yo, what's going on here? I'm like, oh, he's shooting the video. I go, no, they're not. Dead this shit right now. Yeah. He's like, why? He's like, yo, his main man right next to him was wearing a pair of Mocha Jordan 5s in 2006. And I was like, wow, those are amazing. Where'd you get them? And he was, like, so mad. Like, they had to separate us, and I was like, yo, you need to delete the whole shit. And Domaney got, I was like, you want this dude to film rocking fakes in front of the shit? And right there was the standard. It was never allowed again, you know, like.
Stories for days. Chris Vidal, we can't thank you enough for coming through. Our first guest was a great
one. That's crazy. This is my first podcast that I've ever agreed to be on.
Thank you.
I was really psyched to be with Matt and Brandon and you too, Joe.
Yeah, well, thanks. Like you, you know? Thanks.
And let me just go on the record that I did not diss Sean Witherspoon at all.
Okay.
In this past
You guys
hour.
Look alike though, right? Like, you need to put a hat on or something.
This has been the Complex Sneakers Podcast. We will see you next week. Thank you. Our podcast producer is Shiva Bayet. Sound engineering done by Craig Clayton. Special thanks to Gerald Flores, Dave Matthews, and Alejandro De Jesus. The Complex Sneakers Podcast is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.